You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me in the studio. And on the phone, we have Heather Elliott of Peel and Holland in Benton and Murray. Heather, thanks for joining us on Sounds Good today.
Thank you for having me.
Heather, as benefit advisor for Peel and Holland, we discussed a little bit this morning that your business is getting out in front of most everybody and trying to help the rest of us understand the implications of health reform. Where should we start when thinking about what does health reform mean to me?
I think we should start just looking at it as an individual, as a person. What does this mean for me? And it means that we all, as of 2014, are required to have minimum essential coverage, which that can come through an employer plan, an individual plan. Grandfathered plans would be included in that, along with federal programs such as Medicare or Medicaid. So we're just required to have minimum essential coverage, or we'll be penalized.
Are there any exceptions to that rule?
Basically, the only exceptions to that rule are if you're in jail or you're here illegally, then you're not required to have it. There are a few exceptions, but just know that the only exception would be if you change jobs during the year, you're not going to be penalized as long as you do not go longer than 3 months without coverage. You're allowed one 3 month period per year without coverage.
So if I don't comply, I don't do anything, how will anybody know that, and what will I be penalized?
Well, if you file taxes, then they will know that. And whenever you file taxes for 2014, that amount would be 1% of your income up to $95. So it's not a very stiff penalty the first year. That does increase each year. There is a penalty for children as well, but the maximum per family for 2014 is only $295.
In terms of my overall health care coverage, if my employer does not provide it, if I need to do this on my own, what has changed about health care coverage in light of health care reform?
Well, there are exchanges that have been developed and will be operational October 1st. So if you are an individual that does not have coverage available through your employer, you have choices of either going to the exchange. You can go individually just by yourself and, you know, enroll online if you'd like. You can go through an agent. You can go through what they call connectors. If you choose to, you can also enroll directly with a carrier in an individual plan similar to what we would offer now. But just know that the way that those premiums are developed after January 1st, the way that premium is calculated is limited. It's what they call adjusted community rating, which means that it's no longer rated on health risk, which can be good for some, bad for others. For example, if you're a young male, you've been paying a really low rate, you'll now be paying a gender-neutral rate and the same rate as someone that's very sick in that same demographic. The only rating factors will be age, demographic where you live, and tobacco or non-tobacco user. So it can negatively impact, for most people, it will negatively impact their premium.
Heather, if you go through Connect, if you go through a connector, will you be buying from a private health insurance concern ultimately?
Yes, you will be buying from a private company. There are only two available through the exchange that's getting ready to open in Kentucky. We have Anthem, which Blue Cross Blue Shield, everyone's pretty familiar with that, but just know that it's not the same Anthem plan that's available today. It's actually a very limited network and a plan that's compliant with ACA regulations. The other provider is Kentucky Co-op, which is a new provider, and I don't have as many details of their plan offerings. They actually are just releasing those.
Now, in the midst of this kind of change that is so broad-based in our communities, I think probably number one is, the number one question will be, how will premiums be determined in the future?
For those that are enrolling in an individual plan or for those that are in an employee plan that has less than 50 employees, unless they're associated with an association, a bridge or self-funded type plan, or some type of a larger group like a captive. If none of those things apply, if it's just a group of 20 individual employees that work for Company A, then Company A has to buy insurance if they choose to. They do not have to, but if they do choose to provide coverage for their employees, they are going to have community-rated premiums, which means that those same three factors that I mentioned, it's only age, demographic, and tobacco use that applies to that risk factor. Everything is guaranteed issue, no pre-existing health conditions, which while that's good for some, it does negatively impact premiums for most.
I hate to be thick about things, but I understand about the employer about 20 people or under 50 people, but what were the other conditions? You started out with some conditions that I didn't quite understand.
Okay. So if you're an employer that has less than 50 employees, you have some options of how you can buy insurance for your employees if you choose to provide coverage. Of course, that includes outside of the exchange, but it does have the community rating effect inside the shop exchange if you have less than 25. If you have private exchanges that are opening up as well, generally those are going to be for larger groups of employees though. But what I was talking about, there are three other options. A group captive, which is effectively where, say, a group of 500 employees are grouped together, might be 50 employers that group together to buy insurance themselves and actually self-insure that group. That's called a captive. There are also a second option there would be a hybrid or a bridge type plan that is seen as a self-funded plan for purposes. That means that it would avoid some of the tax consequences that are levied against fully insured plans. But that hybrid plan, say at the end of the year, depending on the contract, you may owe some money back or they may owe you some money back, depending on your claim experience. And that third option are association plans. If you have an association that offers a plan, then those associations are seen as over 100 employees, so you do not have to worry about the community rating. In that case, it is risk-rated or health-rated based on the experience of that pool of employees.
Heather, I think I understand why this Affordable Health Care Act took so many pages at this point. What are my options for purchasing health insurance? Bottom line here.
Mm-hmm. So if you have coverage available through your employer and they do not charge you larger than 9.5% premium of your pay as an employee, then I would say that's probably your best option. Because if you decided to go to the exchange thinking that you would be subsidy eligible, as long as your employer is not charging you more than 9.5% of your gross pay, then most likely or almost completely likely that you would not qualify for any subsidy. So if you have it offered through your employer, that's probably your best option. If you do not, then you do have the exchange as an option, or you may be able to enroll in a private plan. If subsidy is not an issue, then I would encourage you to enroll in a private plan because you'll have larger network and more access to care.
Now, go ahead.
Okay, I just thought about one other scenario with the Medicaid expansion. Obviously, that wouldn't be purchasing insurance, but there will be a large number of people that are eligible for Medicaid that today are not, but will be as of January 1st. And that can be directed through the exchange. They're calling that No Wrong Door. So you can log on to the exchange, you can do the call center, or you can do a paper application, although they discourage that for processing time. But whichever method you use, if you start to enroll in the exchange and you're below that 138% of federal poverty level, then you would be directed into Medicaid. So there are several people that will be able to have coverage available that way.
Now, we're going to stop there for now and start up again in the second part of this series with you on Tuesday, the 24th at 11:15. And in the meantime, I would recommend, is it simply peelholland.com where most of this information is available in written form? It's a very comprehensive site for explaining what's going on in healthcare reform. I did get it right, peelholland.com.
You did.
Heather, thank you very much for patiently walking us through it. We look forward to our next conversation.